we start with the most basic halakhs as a shofar, or the basic level for a shofar to be kosher and to move up. So what do you think the most basic requirement is for a shofar? What's the most basic thing we want to look out for? Yeah. What?
Crack.
Oh, I'm not dealing with the physical structure. Cracks and holes is a different topic. I'm dealing with in terms of what, the species of animal. What do we want to rule out, first of all? What's the basic thing we want to rule out?
Yeah.
Non-kosher animal. Okay. So the question is, does a shofar have to be from a kosher animal or not? So what would make you think that it does have to be from a kosher animal?
Put it into your mouth.
Yeah.
Because I'm kosher to use, like,
on
general, you cannot use them for certain things.
Right. So there's an idea that kosher animals can only be used for certain things. What? I mean, it's not just eating. Give me an example. What can we only use a kosher animal for? Yeah. Nope. Use a donkey. Yep. Right. When you're writing a sefer Torah, the buzzer, everything, the class, the parchment has to be from the skin of a kosher animal. Right? Usually done for the cow. There's ancient records about how sefer Torah used to be written on the skin of a giraffe. So there's a general idea that if you're doing a holy task, it has to be done with a kosher animal. However, it's not so straightforward. Let's think of a difference between, say, a mezuzah, which has to be written on a kosher animal, and a shofar. What's the difference between how you treat a mezuzah and how you treat a shofar? What can you do with a shofar that you can't do with a mezuzah? Okay. Apart from the obvious. Yeah. You probably put a mezuzah in your mouth.
Bring in a vat and we do non-kedushin.
Yeah. Throw it in the garbage. Right. You can put a shofar in the garbage. You can't throw a mezuzah in the garbage. A shofar does not have intrinsic sanctity. Right. It's used for a mitzvah, but it doesn't possess intrinsic kedusha. So, and also it's not necessarily so clear if you can make a shofar from a non-kosher animal. So, in actual fact, this is something that is discussed amongst the Rishonim. And the way it's happened in the Shulchan Aruch is that lachatchila, you should try and use a shofar from a kosher animal. If the only thing you have available, however, is a shofar from a non-kosher animal, you can still use that. Now, as it happens, this discussion is totally theoretical and academic. Why? What non-kosher animal has a horn that you can make into a shofar?
Ox
is kosher?
No. Rhino?
Ah. No, a rhino's horn. Could you make a rhino's horn into a shofar? I'm not talking about halakhically, I'm talking about... No, I can't make a rhino. What's a rhino's horn made out of? Ivory? Nope.
Nail.
Yeah, keratin. It's a solid lump of keratin. Right, if you ever handle a rhino's horn, right, it's incredibly heavy. Just one solid lump of keratin. It's not hollow at all.
What about elephant
tusk? Oh, that's a good one. Okay, elephant is not kosher. Could you make a tusk into a shofar? Elephant hollow? Yeah. You ever see a cross section of an elephant tusk?
No.
You shall not pass. This is the horn of a unicorn. This was 500 years ago. I'd be a very, very, very wealthy man for having one of these. This would be worth many times its weight in gold. Right, the king might trade the entire castle for one of these. This is the legendary horn of the unicorn. Right, it doesn't look like any horn of any other animal. It's long, straight, gleaming white, spiral twist. Doesn't actually come from a unicorn. What does it come from?
Narwhal.
A narwhal, like a kind of whale that lives in the Arctic regions. How big is a narwhal without the tusk? It's about 12 feet long. The tusk can get it to be 9 feet long. What's it used for?
Cutting
fish? No. Sword fight? No.
Antenna?
Yes. Who said antenna? Very good. Yeah. This was discovered by a dentist just 3 years ago, that these grooves actually contain nerve endings, so it's actually a sensory organ. Right, not used for jousting, breaking holes in the ice, anything like that. Okay, so this is a non-kosher animal with a kind of like you call it a horn. It's really a tooth, but you can call it a horn. But if, however, you could not make it into a shofar because it's not not hollow. I'm going to get back into the point of hollow soon. So a rhino's horn is just a carrot with a lump of nail. A narwhal's tusk, a tooth, is just also solid. Are there any non-kosher animals with horns? How about this? This is a jackalope. A jackalope, which is a kind of horned rabbit.
Where do you find them?
They're real. They're real bodies.
Did you actually hunt out?
No, I didn't hunt out. I bought it on eBay. Now, if you look in, if you're ever looking in old wildlife encyclopedias, really old ones, from hundreds of years ago, so in the section discussing rabbits and hares, there'll also be an entry about the horned rabbit. Okay, the horned rabbit. Now this is actually a fake, right? This is a stuffed rabbit which has had the horns of a goat attached to it. Right, it's not a real thing. But these old wildlife encyclopedias do speak about a horned rabbit. So what's going on with that? Is that a genuinely horned, non-kosher animal? So as it happens, there's a certain fungal disease that sometimes infects rabbits. And when that happens to them, they start growing horns all over their head. It looks really repulsive. Maybe when I'm bringing my computer and set up the projector next week or something, yeah, I'll show you what it looks like. They start growing horns all over the head. In very rare circumstances, it can even happen to people. But these growths that they look, while they look like horns, and that's why in the Middle Ages people thought there's actually a species of a horned rabbit, they're actually just like warts. Certainly, you couldn't turn it into a shofar. But we can certainly understand why there was halakhic discussion about making a shofar from a non-kosher animal. Because it was believed that there were non-kosher animals with horns that could possibly name the shofars. Rhinos, horned rabbits, right? It didn't seem out of the question. But we now know that the only animal you could possibly make a shofar out of, practically speaking, is a kosher animal. Now, all animals with horns that can be made into shofars are kosher. Okay, so the most basic thing that we seek to rule out is a non-kosher animal, but as it happens, none exist. But even if there were to somehow be a non-kosher animal with a shofar, with a horn that could be made into a shofar, you could use it for the evet. Right? It wouldn't be the most kosher thing, but you could use it for the evet. Because halakhically speaking, it's not clear if shofar should be rated as being like mezuzah or not. Because right, on the one hand, it is an abzah that's used for a mitzvah, and on the other hand, it doesn't possess inherent sanctity. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to lay out all the horns on this desk, starting from least kosher to most kosher. Okay, what is less kosher than this theoretical horn of a non-kosher animal? Yeah?
Well,
pig's non-kosher. Yeah, that would be... Huh? Does that even count the horn? Good question. I don't know the answer to that. It's not discussed. A giraffe. Who's a giraffe? Yeah. What's wrong with a giraffe horn?
They're small, huh?
Of course, it's going to be this big.
Giraffe kosher.
Not
big.
No.
That's
a kosher. Anyone know what anatomically different about a giraffe horn? Almost every other
one. They're covered in skin.
So you can scrape it
off. Underneath the skin.
So? Okay. Giraffe and deer. What do giraffe horns and deer horns have in common that are totally different from any other horned animal? Anyone know this?
Oh,
yes, very good. Okay.
What?
A deer's antlers, right? Unfortunately, I don't have it here because I built it into a fixture in my house, so I can just bring it. A deer's antlers are solid bone. Right, solid bone. A shofar, by definition, what the word means is something hollow. Normally speaking, the word shofar, like shofaret, is a tube. Shofar means something hollow. So anything that's not naturally hollow, even if you were very ingeniously, hollow it out, like, for example, if you soak a deer's antlers in water, you could bend it and you could drill it very carefully, right? So you could theoretically make a shofar out of it. But I think Native Americans used to make pipes out of deer antlers, I think. Okay, so it is theoretically possible with great craftsmanship to hollow out an antler. But even if you were to, it's not a shofar. I mean, that's not what a shofar is. The word shofar means something that is hollow. So something that is not naturally hollow, like a deer's antler or a giraffe horn, right? Giraffe horns are just lumps of bone. Right? Anything that's not naturally hollow, it's just not a shofar. So even if you have nothing else, you shouldn't use it because it's not what a shofar is. Right? I guess that would be wrong with a narwhal's tusk also, even if you count this as a horn. right? But it's not hollow. So the least kosher thing, right, the thing that, that even if you have nothing else, there's no point using it at all, is something like a deer's antler, a giraffe's horn, right? Something like that, which isn't hollow. Shofar, the most basic definition of shofar is a hollow horn, and this is not hollow. So even if you have, even if the jackalope was a real creature, that's a jackalope, that's what they call the horned rabbit, the rabbits are not kosher. But a horned rabbit shofar would be better to use than a deer's antler that has been turned into a shofar, even though the deer is kosher. Because an antler is just not what a shofar is. A shofar is a hollow horn. Okay? Fine. Let me show you what I mean by the idea of a shofar being hollow. Okay. Here is a kudu's horn. Kudu is a kind of antelope. This is what it looks like. Okay. This is what horn is. A horn of an animal. The outer sheath is made out of keratin, like fingernail. So that goes over a bony core. Right? Goes over a bony core. So as opposed to the antlers of a deer, which are just, or of a giraffe, which are just solid pieces of bone. Right? The shofar is not the bone. The shofar is the keratin sheath that surrounds the bone. That's what the word shofar means in the first group. Okay? Fine. Okay. So the least acceptable thing is something that's not hollow. Oh, and by the way, when the Shulchan Aruch says that a deer's antlers are totally no good as a shofar, because, you know, it's just not what a shofar is, so how does it say that in Hebrew? What's a deer called in Hebrew? Tzvi. That's what the Shulchan Aruch speaks about, how the cairn of a tzvi is no good for a shofar because it's not hollow. Now, those of you who are from Boca, okay, what's a tzvi?
I don't remember.
Ah. Now, as it happens, a tzvi is not a deer. I know everybody translates tzvi as a deer, but tzvi is not actually a deer. How do I know that? Because the Gemara says that a tzvi's horn does not have any branches. Now, a deer's antlers have lots of branches, right? They branch out into spikes. But the Gemara says that tzvi's horns do not have that. So a tzvi is not a deer. What is a tzvi? A gazelle, right. Tzvi is a gazelle, an animal that doesn't have branched horns. Plus, in Shir HaShirim, it describes a tzvi as the most beautiful, graceful animal, and gazelles are more beautiful than deer. So if the tzvi is really the gazelle, right, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about it, how you can't make a shofar out of the horns of a tzvi because they're not hollow, so it's not, that's not something about a gazelle. Gazelle's horns are hollow. So the Shulchan Aruch is using the word tzvi to refer to a deer, like everyone does today. Everyone calls a deer a tzvi. How did that mix-up happen?
Because
nope.
Other things died out, probably.
Nope, there's lots of gazelles. Not too far from there, yeah?
Deer antlers regrow, so maybe in the beginning
of ages... Nope, nope.
They don't see any
gazelles. Right, why don't they see any gazelles?
They live in the wrong part of the world.
Wrong part of the world, exactly. Gazelles only live in Africa and Asia. So the shofar, the remarks, like running in Europe, nobody ever saw a gazelle. So the name Tzvi got transferred to the closest equivalent, which is the deer. Right, you have people called Zvi Hirsch, right, Hirsch is German for deer. But in Europe, they use the word Zvi for deer because they didn't have any gazelles. But really, Zvi is the gazelle. Okay, so the least accessible thing is a solid horn, like a deer's antler. Then you have a trace animal's horn, which doesn't exist, but in theory. Okay, so what's the next worst shofar?
The horn of a kosher animal is on.
No, that's pretty good. That's already way up there. There's another type of shofar that is possible. Actually, possibly even worse. Yeah, in fact, even worse than the horn of a non-kosher animal. Yeah. 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 It's a beautiful sound, but totally possible for use of the shofar. Why? Huh?
For
what?
A
kilo. Well, I mean, feed cow. Ox is a cow. Ox is a male cow. Yeah.
The bowl at the end.
No, no, this is how you carve it. You can carve a shrub any way you want. Something very bad about cows. What's very bad about cows? Egil Azar, golden calf. That sticks in. So when Yom Ne'erayim, when we're trying to do teshuva, we want to Hashem to have monotheism, the last thing we want to bring up is the skeleton and the corpus of the golden calf. Right? So that's one reason why horn of a shofar of a cow is totally possible. Right? Another reason, and this gets a bit technical, is as follows. What is a horn in Hebrew?
Keren.
Keren is a name for horn. Yeah. So all shofars are keren, right? Every shofar comes from a keren. But not every keren is a shofar. What kind of keren is not a shofar?
Metal?
Huh?
The one made of metal or gold?
No. Keren is a horn of an animal. Which kind of keren is not a shofar?
All these ones are showing right now.
The solid one, right. Solid is not a shofar, right? Every shofar is keren, but not every keren is a shofar. Now, the Gemara takes that to mean that anything that's called keren in the Torah, even if it can be made into a shofar, but if the Torah is calling it a keren, then that's a clue that it should be used. Right? So the horn of a cow is called a keren in the Torah. The Torah doesn't anywhere call it a shofar. So that's another reason given why, even though it can be made into a shofar, but the Torah there is giving you a clue that it's no good. So that's two reasons why the horn of a cow is puffle. Right? The horn of a cow is totally out. Okay, question. Yes, sir?
Why can't you use, like, a conch?
A conch?
Yeah.
Like in Lord of the Flies?
Yeah.
It's not a shofar. Again, that's not what the word shofar means. I mean, you know, I can use a saxophone. You know? The word shofar means the hollow horn of an animal. Conch is not a horn of an animal.
But what about, like, a crash shell or
something?
Which is an animal itself.
It's not a horn. Horn. Shofar is the horn of an animal. The word shofar means the hollow horn of an animal. That's what it means. Okay, so the word is something solid. Then we have a horn of a cow, totally possible. Then we have the theoretical shofar of a non-kosher animal. So those things are all, certainly shouldn't use them. Now we come on to the level of something that's kosher, but b'dieved. I'm going to show you a shofar that's kosher, but for the yemen. Okay. I'm not very good about the care. My five-year-old daughter is much better than me. Okay. This is a very beautiful shofar. Very beautiful, but it can only be used for the yemen. What does the yemen mean?
Absolutely not preferable.
Yeah. Now, for the yemen and lachat chila are words that are often misused. People sometimes think that lachachila means, yeah, that's what you really should use, and b'dieved, well, that's what you can use if you really want to. That's not what it means. Lachachila, b'dieved means, lachachila, you have to do this, but b'dieved means if you had no choice and you did the other thing, you know, then that's okay. So this is only kosher b'dieved. Now, why is this only kosher b'dieved? Specifically what it comes from. Do you know what it comes from? It comes from an eland. Eland. Right? Eland is the world's largest antelope. Weighs up to a ton. 2,000 pounds. Eland once came up to me and asked me for a baracha. I said, Eland, I'm a baracha. You gonna get that joke? Anyway. An antelope is, by the way, just to get this idea that the shofar is a husk of a horn. Right, here's the bony core that came from inside.
Does it come out badly?
No. It actually boiled in a big metal drum over a fire for 5 hours, and then hammered away until the bone came out. Right, it was very difficult to get it out. Yeah. Basically, what I do is I get my horns on eBay from hunters, and then I take them to a shofar maker in the Golan who turns them into shofars. So this was very hard. Still the weight of the bone.
How much does it cost? If they got the hammer, doesn't break it?
No, they're very strong. I mean, these are animals used for fighting with, right? So they're very strong. Shofars are very, very strong. Okay, so this is from an eland, world's largest antelope, very, very beautiful, very, very beautiful. It doesn't start off looking like it, it starts off looking ugly, but you polish it up, it's beautiful. Only kosher b'dieved, why? Nope. Yeah. Yeah, because it's straight. Straight, right? A shofar is supposed to be bent. Why is a shofar supposed to be bent? A couple needles. Yeah.
To
To symbolize that we are supposed to be in contrition.
Days of war.
Days of fear. Right? Not supposed to be saying, hey, you know, I'm a proud, happy Jew. You're supposed to be, you know, bent over and shivered, or you're afraid of Yom HaDin, approaching Yom HaDin. So a shofar is supposed to be coupled. A shofar is supposed to be bent. So a straight shofar like this is only kosher for the air. Meaning? Huh? I know, it is twisted kind of, but I don't think, I guess it could be debated, but I don't think that would count as being bent. I think that bent would have to be. So this is the only B for the Eretz, meaning you have nothing else around except for the Elam Shofar, right, use an Elam Shofar. But given any choice, you should use something else. Okay. By the same token, black buck, right, Indian antelope. Okay, so I've got a black buck skull. This is the left horn, right, this is the right horn. No, sorry, this is the right horn, this is the left horn that was made into a shofar. Right, good little thing. But I don't think this will count as bent either. Basically, straight. Okay, so this will go on over here. The only kosher.
The one that's actually kosher,
I'm getting the super awesome one. Okay, I'm getting the super awesome one. Okay. Fine. Okay, so let's do the super awesome one. Okay. Right, so this one has got the bone arrow. This is from a kudu. Now, when you take a kudu horn, have an antelope, like an elan.
But that horn is the same shape as the
collar. Okay, hold on, I'll get to that. When you get a kudu horn and you polish it up, alright, so this is how it ends up looking. Very, very beautiful.
That's the same thing?
Same thing. Same animal. Beautiful, magnificent shofar. Very popular. You see them in all the souvenir stores, right? All the photos. People in Israel, you know, loving shofar hotels is what you see, huh?
How much did it cost?
It's not that expensive. It's 600 shekels.
How much did it cost to get a
shofar with half metal?
Huh?
A shofar with half metal? Like, need to be repaired
with metal? No. Okay. So again, here is something that I think is for the Eved. No. So this is not straight. This, I would say, is... I know it doesn't look that much different from this, but I still think this is...
No, I don't mean that one. I mean
the little guy. Yeah. See, here's the thing. I don't know where you draw the line, because, you know, you go from something like this, which is clearly twisted, to this, which is, you know, basically... Look at the twist of the narwhal. Right? The narwhal tusk is twisted. They're all twisted. So there comes a point where you have to say, you know, this is just straight. I mean, no one's going to say the narwhal tusk is satisfied to a crime of the being bent. So I think the way I would say it is that if the twist is so much that you could, you know, poke a straight stick all the way through the middle, then it's straight shofar.
Yeah, but I bet that if we went outside and got a picture, we could take it straight through the
left. Yeah. All right, so this I would say is intermediate. Right, okay, I agree, this is more twisted than that. This is definitely twisted. Right? It's seriously twisted. Right? This is totally twisted. So this is kosher lechatchila. Right? Lechatchila, right? You want to do the mitzvah of shofar, you pick a kudu and use its horn. Right? And it's very popular, I mean, it really looks spectacular, doesn't it? And somebody will blow the shofar well if they really get a good sound out of it. Yes, sir?
But what's the black buck, though?
Black buck.
Which is?
Another kind of antelope. Yeah.
You mentioned the Israelites today.
Yeah.
So the animal they're using do not kill according to the Kashrus law?
Excellent point. No, they don't have to be killed according to Kashrus law. Right. However the animal died, even if it died a natural death, whatever it is, you can still use its horns for a shofar. It does not have to be shechted. Yeah.
If an animal dies from a disease, is it possible that you can check this human and get it from the horn?
I don't think
Okay, so here we have something that Lachat Tchila. Okay, Pulu Shofar, Kosher Lachat Tchila. This one back. Now, it's still not the ideal, though. Not the ideal. Lachat Tchila, right, that's it. If you really want to do the mitzvah in the best possible way, you would not use a Kulu Shofar. Why not?
Sorry?
If you want to do the mitzvah the absolute best possible way, you would not do it with a Kulu Shofar.
It's too easy for that.
No. Yeah, but that's not the reason.
Right.
That's not really bent. Yes, sir. Nope. I don't even get much more bent than this, yeah?
Isn't
Lachat
Tchila with the ram?
Ram, yeah. Lachat Tchila means... No, a Kulu Shofar is Lachat Tchila, but it's not Mitzvah Min HaMukha. Mitzvah Min HaMukha is one level above Lachat Tchila. Lachat Tchila means this is what you should do, you're a good Jew if you do it. Mitzvah Min HaMukha means if you want to do it in the best possible way. If you want to do it in the best possible way, right, you do it with the ram. Like I said, I'm not the world's best Balzac here. Okay, a ram. This is the best possible way to do the mitzvah. Why? What's so special about ram?
Because it reminds God of the
Kedah Yitzhak. Right. In the same way that we don't want to remind Hashem of the Egel Azav, we do want to bring up the memory of the Kedah Yitzhak. Right, so because Avraham found a ram, Avraham was about to sacrifice his heart, instead he finds a ram, slaughters it instead. He kind of thinks that he was a reminder of his willingness to sacrifice his son for Hashem. So that is why Mitzvah Namukha, the best way possible is to use a ram. So personally, you know, I think it's a bit weird. I mean, these shofars, these Kulu shofars are very, very popular because they look amazing and cool. But as it happens, the ram shofar, while it might not look quite as cool, is a better way of fulfilling the mitzvah. Okay? No. Well, okay, it depends what kind of ram it's on. Now, here's where things start to get really complicated. Okay. So in theory, you have here from the least kosher to best, right? Solid horn totally out, cow's horn totally possible. Treif animal shofar, were it to exist, a shaila is kosher at all. Straight horn, b'dieved. Twisted horn, l'chatchila. Best possible mitzvah and mukta, ram's horn. Okay, and here's where things start to get complicated. We'll bring in some more complicated cases. Okay. Ah! What animal does this come from?
Oh,
what's
fun?
Goat.
No.
Yak. Gosh, this one's looking big.
Yak?
No. A water buffalo. A water buffalo. Okay. Water buffalo. What do you say about this one? They're ivory. I'm not sure if they're hollow or not. I haven't got my hands on one lately. Yeah. Water buffalo? Nope. No. The question with this one is whether a water buffalo is considered a cow or not. I mean, water buffalo is basically it's in the cattle family. Right? So cows are no good because of the Egel Hazaha. So the question is, what about a water buffalo? Is that a cow or not? So, again, it's not clear, so we best not to use it. But, you know, given that if it was the only thing you had, then you should use it. As opposed to, if the only thing you had was a cow horn, you wouldn't even bother, because a cow horn is totally no good. So if the only thing you had was a water buffalo shofar, it would still be worth using it, because it might not be considered a cow. Yeah.
Well,
so it's all about appearance. So if it appears to be something like a cow horn, right? Yeah, that'd be good. By the way, the thing of not reminding God, I mean, this depends on whether you follow the rationalist or mystic school of thought. The rationalist school of thought would say it's not only about not reminding God, it's about not reminding us, right? Not putting us back in that frame of mind. Yeah.
What about regular buffalo?
It'll be the same as water buffalo. You know, it's something that is somewhat cow-like in the larger package. Basically cowish, but it would be unclear. So if you have nothing else available, it's better than cow, you know, you should use it if there's nothing else available. Yes, sir? Let's move on. You know, I'm going to try and hold up other questions to the end because I just want to get finished here with everything. So buffalo will be slightly better than cow. What else do we have here? Okay. Here's an interesting one. Here's the type of chauffeur that he's been popping up in the market all over the place lately. In every store, in so many stores here in the States. All right, very popular chauffeur now. Okay, so what do we say about straight? What's this? The one that comes up? Yeah, what kind of antelope?
A yak? Would you say a liger?
Yeah, it comes from an oryx. An oryx. Here's what the original horn looks like. All right, here's what it looks like after it's been the top cut off and polished and the chauffeur. Comes from an oryx. Now, okay, so the first problem that you notice with it is that it's straight. So what do we say about straight chauffeur? Buddy Evans. Right, so at best it's Buddy Evans. So it's a bit strange that they're selling it in the stores when at best it's a Buddy Evans. There's another problem with it too. Do you remember I mentioned, what was the problem with a cow's horn? Two problems with using a chauffeur from a cow. One was Egil Azar. What was the other problem?
It wasn't a chauffeur, it was Karen.
Now where in the Torah is a cow's horn called a Karen? It's the Pasuk in the Mos HaBracha. B'chor Shara Hadar Eloi, Kani Re'im Kano. That compares Yosef to an ox. It says that his horns, his keren, is like the keren of a ra'im. Right, so there you see that an ox's horn is called a keren. But that same pasuk says that the keren of an ox is like the keren of a ra'im. What's a ra'im? It's not clear what a ra'im is. It's either an aurox, which is an extinct wild ox, or another possibility, which Sadi Gaon says, it's the oryx. So if the ra'im is the oryx, so there you see that the horn of a ra'im is also called a keren. Right, so then like the cow, it would be totally possible. So, you know, at best, this chauffeur is a Bidi Evet, it's straight. At worst, it's totally possible, because like a cow, it's given the name Keren in the Torah. Right, so it's very strange to me that these are marketed, even with a Hefsha. It's good to show that you can't trust everything with a Hefsha, because it's very doubtful if it's kosher at all. Okay, so I'm going to put it all the way down here.
But
the what? Now, kind of complicate things further. Okay, so as we said, see what the situation is. But Yevet straight, Lechatchila bent. Okay, Lechatchila bent. Now, when the Mishnah and the Gemara speak about bent chauffeurs versus straight chauffeurs, they give examples from the animal kingdom. They say a bent chauffeur like that of a ram, or a straight chauffeur like that of a, doesn't say eland, doesn't say black buck, it says like an ibex. It says a chauffeur should be bent like that of a ram and not straight like that of an ibex. Guys, have you seen an ibex? Anyone ever been to Ein Gedi?
Yeah.
Here's an ibex. Now, its horns do not look that straight. Here is an ibex chauffeur. Okay, beautiful chauffeur. Beautiful ridges on it. It's not very straight though, does it? So, huh? So what's going on here? How can you call this straight? So the answer given by Meiri, when they were showing him, is as follows. Let's take a look at a ram's horn. Real ram's horn, straight off the ram. Okay, here's a ram's horn straight off the ram. And you can see a difference between this and this, right? In terms of the shape. Right. So we see here that if this is called straight, and this is called bent, you see, what does the word bent mean? Bent means twisted, right? Twisted, not just bent along one plane. Right, because this is straight, if you look at it, you know, along one axis, you see it's totally straight, right? It has a curve, but we see that bent means twisted. Show how it's twisted. This is called straight. Show how it's twisted. Huh? Okay, good, we'll get to that. So here's where things get, so this is considered to be straight. This is what the Mishnah defines as being straight. The chauffeur has to be twisted.
What's that one?
Ram. This is a ram horn. Straight off a ram. This is how it looks. It comes off the ram. Twisted. Now, here's a ram horn that's been made into a chauffeur. Okay? Kind of chauffeur you're familiar with. Notice the difference in shape. What is going on here? Why are they shaped so differently?
They're not from different species, they're not from different breeds, they're not from different types. Yeah.
When you put them in the hot water, they grow?
Yeah. This has been straightened. Why has it been straightened? I'll tell you why it's been straightened. It's been straightened... It's been straightened because, like I said, it's got a bone inside, right? So to make this into a sofa, you're going to saw off the end to make a mouthpiece. But the problem is as follows. This hollow interior that you pull the bone out of, it's not hollow all the way to the tip. Right? The hollow part is only up till, say, about here. Right? So when you cut off that, you haven't reached the hollow part. When you turn a horn into a sofa, you don't need to slice off the end, you then have to drill into the hollow interior. Right? Now, the laws of physics are such that you can only drill on a straight line. Right? It's physically impossible to create a drill that can drill in a curve. A drill can only go in a straight line. Right? So how do you make sofa? So the way they make sofas is they take out the bone by boiling it, they boil it to take out the bone, and then when you heat the surface at 550 degrees Fahrenheit, it becomes malleable. Right? You can shape it however you want. So after they take out the bone, they can straighten it like this. So this twisted sofa, which you see, comes from the same side sheet. Right? After you heat it, you take out the bone, you heat it up, and you straighten it out. And once you've straightened it out, then you can drill a hole right into the hollow interior. Right? And that's what's been happening with this one too. This sofa, when I got it as a horn, right, this sofa was originally, it followed this curve all the way around like this. Right? When I took it to the sofa maker, he wasn't able to drill it, get into the hollow part that way. He had to heat it up and straighten it out. Now, there are those, a very minority view, but there are those who say that once you've straightened it out like this, it's no better than the ibex horn. Some say it's no better than the ibex horn. The ibex horn is also, right, that curve was not considered to be enough, so it has to be twisted. So Rav Yosef Katak, with his prestigious Yemenite authority, said that anytime you're straightening out a horn, it's no good. So it has to be twisted, as twisted can be, twisted as it is in nature. So Rav Yosef Katak held that any straightening it out is no good. So how do you make a ram's horn sofa without straightening it out at all, with a nice twist? With this. You start with a horn that is enormous. Absolutely enormous. You chop it off, like, a real good way down, so that you're right at the hollow. And then, you know, this hole had originally been out to here. Right? So you chop, like, half of it off, so you're at the hollow, so you don't need to drill. At that point, the sofa is still very wide, so you're going to have to, you know, shave it down a lot to make a mouthpiece. But otherwise, the sofa will be that wide, you wouldn't be able to put it to your mouth, really. So, you know, shave down to make a mouthpiece. But you have to start off with an enormous horn, and that's the only way you can get a ram's horn sofa with a nice twist. And this is the most expensive kind of sofa that's generally available. Right? So Yemenites follow this view that you want to have a real twisted ram's horn, which hasn't been straightened in any way. That's the best kind of sofa you can get, and this costs about 1,000 shekels. Most poskim, however, you know, the idea in halakha, what we're doing is not supposed to be a radical new thing, but to explain normative halakha. And normative halakha is a sofa like this, it's fine. This happens to be a particular, spectacular one. But the reason, and I guess the reason given is that it's still considered to be more bent. It's still considered to be more twisted than an ibex, right? I mean, the bend is certainly a lot sharper. And it's even bent along two axes. Right? The ibex is only bent along one axis. The ram's horn, even after you straightened it out, it's still bent on two axes. So it's still, so that's why many would say this is still fine. Yeah.
Once you heat it up and straighten it out, and then
you can
put it back.
Right. Yeah. That would seem to be a neat solution.
And also, how did they do this before?
I'll tell you about a scandal that went on a couple of years ago. About 14 years ago in Israel, all these sofas started appearing in the market that were beautiful, absolutely beautiful ram's horn sofas. They're all beautiful. So somebody noticed something strange. They were all exactly the same. Exactly identical. What happened? Somebody was getting old sofas, heating them up, melting them down into a syrup, and pouring them into a mold. Right, it's not kosher to do that. The scam was caught out. Okay, one final oddity I have to show you, which is, like I said, in general, antlers from a deer are no good. They're solid, right? Now, how can you tell an antler? Because antlers are branched.
There's one species in the world which has a branched horn that does not make it into a chauffeur, and that is the pronghorn, the American antelope.
The what?
Right? The pronghorn. They only live in America.
Pronghorn.
American antelope. Its horns are branched like a deer, but they are hollow. They are hollow, so you can make this into a chauffeur. It's only for the airbed, but it is a kosher chauffeur. Even though it looks like a deer's antlers, it's not. The deer's antlers are solid bone, this is a hollow keratin sheet. What else I have here? Show you guys. Oh, gazelle's horn. Right, we spoke about gazelles earlier. The Tavi is really a gazelle, not a deer. So this is the horn of a gazelle. You can make it into a chauffeur, but it's straight-ish. Sheep come in many different sizes. Okay, so this gives you an insight into it. Again, these cruise servers are spectacular. People love it. Oh! Okay, oh, another very interesting thing. Okay, let's say, you should use a ram's horn. And nowadays, ram's horn chauffeurs are always available. But let's say you're stuck on a desert island, somewhere in the middle of nowhere, you can't get a ram's horn chauffeur. Sorry. Ram's horn is good for an amukha. You don't have to go for a ram's horn. You do have to go for a curb. You have to go for a curb chauffeur. Look at Killer. Okay, so let's say you're not going for the ram's horn. Okay, you don't have to. It's a nicer thing to do, you don't have to. But as like a Killer, you're going for a curb horn, so you're using this nice kuru chauffeur. Okay? Now, somebody wants to demonstrate how you're going to blow the chauffeur for Rosh Hashanah? Okay, you're now going to fulfill the commandments of Rosh Hashanah.
I'm still not
going
to
do it. You're going to fulfill the mitzvah shofar.
I'm still not going to do it under pressure.
No good. Most people, you see them blowing the chauffeur like this, right? That is no good. I'll tell you why. Any time you do a mitzvah with something that grows naturally, you have to hold it in the same way that it grows. Right? Now, how does a horn grow from an animal's head? Which end is attached to the animal's head?
Wide
end. Right? The horn is attached to the animal's head like this. So if you're blowing the chauffeur, you have to blow it like a saxophone. Down. Right? Nobody knows it. You have to hold the chauffeur in the way that it grows on the animal. Right? So if you're blowing a chauffeur like this, you have to face down. Right? So you see people blowing it up, that's no good. It has to be derech kedelaso, the way it grows on the animal. So the reason why people don't realize that is because with a sheep it's pretty straightforward. Because with a sheep, right, the horn grows like this. Right? The horn grows downwards. People naturally, when they hold an instrument like this, right, they have the big end pointing up. And with a sheep, that's as it should be, because that's the way it grows on the sheep. Right? It goes downwards, so you hold it like this, that's the way it grows on the sheep. But people assume that with this it's the same. That's not how it grows in the animal. It grows in the animal like this. Right? That's another thing. The horn has to be done as it grows in the animal. Right? As it grows in the animal, which means the bigger end is up. And another idea of having the bigger end up, Allah elikim b'sruah, Hashem is elevated with the sruah, this will kind of upset. That's another reason why you want to have the sofa pointing up. So really,
they contradict.
Right. So if you're doing a kudu sofa, you can't fulfill the idea of Allah alikim b'sruah. Another reason why it wouldn't be a great idea. I mean, it's not a tia to do Allah alikim b'sruah, but it is a hiddur. It is a beautification of the mitzvah to have the idea of Hashem being elevated. But if you were to elevate Hashem, so this sofa, you're not holding it the way the animal carries it. It's no good at all. So it's another reason why this kudu and antelope horn is problematic. The basic theory is that you have to hold a horn the way it grows on the animal. Right? Okay, now I know that was kind of complicated, so if you want to remember everything that you learned, there's my website, www.zootoa.com. As well as watching me wrestle alligators and fall off the backs of elephants and stuff like that, you can also download this essay, Exotic Chauffeur Halachic Considerations, which has everything I've said in this year and more, complete with illustrations. Any questions? What kind of questions? Yes, sir.
No.
Ibex is straight, so yeah, only if no other one is available. Yeah.
Can you kill a ram for the sole purpose of making a shofar out of the horn?
Yep.
So in that case, when would you ever have to use the Bedia Vaj shofar? Because there's always, they're not scared, like, you know.
Desert island. No, and historically, like, maybe you'd be in a place where sheep were not around or not easily accessible. Yeah.
You said that it's okay to, once you unstraighten a shofar, it's okay to recurve it?
Yeah.
Could you curve a straight...
A curve, a straight thing into a curve? I guess so.
And then it'd be okay?
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. I guess you have to think about, is our lacha talking about something that's naturally straight or naturally curved or the odd... I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't know. Yeah.
You cut off the horn, is the animal still alive?
The animal's still alive. Can I cut off your leg while you're still alive? Yes, but it would be very painful. You could do it, but it would be very, very painful for the animal. Yeah.
Don't rams' horns grow from the top of their head? Sheep go grow roundward.
No.
Don't rams go upward?
I just went to a toy store this afternoon. Make sure that's right.
That was a great idea.
There we go.
You got the coolest light.
It starts off going, actually this isn't the most anatomically accurate thing I've ever seen, but in general it starts off going like sideways and then it easily goes down. Yeah.
No matter how the animal dies, like,
no, let's make it
how it
dies.
It doesn't matter
how it dies. I mean, okay, in general, there is an idea that even if you're killing an animal not for food, you don't have to chest it, but you should kill it in a painless way. There is a mythical animal in a relatively painless way. But as far as how the cash for the server is concerned, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah. Well, when I get my horns on eBay, right, I have no idea how the animal died. I mean, most of them were hunted by, you know, rednecks. Oh, so if you use Rabbi Lazar, probably would, yeah, that wouldn't be no good. How do I know my horns are not used Rabbi Lazar?
Unlikely.
Okay, gentlemen, those of you who are going to be in the Zutara class, I will see you on Thursday.
Welcome to
Coming Proud of Shofar, by the way.